Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
These are dark times. Level two. This is Sports Rage. The horror of it all. I'm looking at my account right now. I'm like, wow. Wow. It happens. It happens. We've gone on some really, really good runs. Like, there's been some, like, really, really good runs for, like, 4 or 5 months, 6 month runs and stuff like that. Right? But everything comes crashing down. It seems like everything's crashing down around me. To be honest, there's a lot of this week. I'm like, wow, you know, nothing lasts forever, I guess, right? And I'm pretty good. So one thing, I'm pretty good at handling loss in life. I've dealt a lot with a lot of loss, not just betting, right? So I'm good at putting things in perspective quickly. But I got to tell you, things are adding up this week. Things are adding up. We've got women's soccer coming up, but not even for, I don't know, what is this? I think it's at like 4 in the morning east. Like, we're a couple hours away here still. We'll chip away. Well, you know what I mean? What did they say? No shame in getting knocked down. The only shame is staying down. So we've got Big Card Julio stepping up. Mike Chiesa is going to join us. We've got some Major League Baseball news. Otani's good and great. We know that. But the Los Angeles Dodgers, of course. The Dodgers... Looks like the Dodgers are suddenly going to get aggressive as the trade deadline is rapidly approaching. And we've already seen them make the move with the Cleveland Guardians. Yet that's not like a needle, you know, move, you know what I mean? Needle moving move type deal. But there are reports. The LA Times is reporting that the Dodgers have engaged in talks with the St. Louis Cardinals about Nolan Arenado. Which nobody really saw coming, right? That, like, now, number one, not a complete shock in the sense that the Cardinals are underachieving. They pay a lot of money to their players. And the Cardinals have always been a smart organization, right? It hasn't clicked this year for them, and it's their own fault. Their pitching sucks. Like, they're hitting. Arenado's having a good year. Right? Like that. I never really understood that. They went out and got Goldschmidt. They got Arenado. And it's like, yeah, but our pitching sucks. So what's the point? Right? What's the point of getting these guys if we don't have pitchers? Suddenly we're the Cincinnati Reds used to be. You know what I'm saying? So the Cardinals kind of brought it upon themselves. But, you know, I'm not going to throw them under the bus because they've, you know, overall their body of work is impressive, the St. Louis Cardinals. They seem to be in a little bit of a crossroads here. They don't know who they are. They don't have a ton of young prospects. They do have money. It's not like people are lining up to play for the Cardinals, even though it's a great baseball city. Just modern guys, like, it's like they're not, I don't want to live in, you know what I mean? Why? No. You know I mean, the Cardinals are in a weird spot right now. So there was talk, like it's been going on, that if things don't go well for the Cal, there's talk. The general manager said it publicly. Cardinals GM came out last week and said, yeah, you know what? We're going to trade people. Like, this is a disaster. So, right, like, baseball GMs are pretty open, actually, about their plans. I got to be honest. And so the Dodgers engaging in talks about Nolan Arenado. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Level 2 has begun, and we're far from done here. Mike Chiesa is going to step up in it and join us. Great stuff. He's throwing it down Saturday night. We've got a great UFC pay-per-view on Saturday night in Salt Lake City, UFC 291. Man, I guess the 300 is going to be the big one, huh? All right, like they've... I got to be honest with you. Was 200 New York City? Like, I'm just thinking, I know UFC 100. I was there. Las Vegas. I remember, I know UFC 100, and it was Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir. Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir were the main event. It was the second time they fought. And George St. Pierre and Thiago Alves was the co-main event. Michael Bisping and Dan Henderson. Well, that was a crazy fight. That was a sick fight. That was UFC 100. Like I said, it was a mega card. John Fitch, I believe, was on the card. Was it John Fitch? Did John Fitch fight that Japanese dude? Was that the night the Japanese dude came out in the dress? The UFC hates that stuff, but Dana White thought it was so funny that he said, well, whatever, bro. Okay. No, that was New Year's Eve. That was the New Year's Eve. I don't know if you guys remember, it was a New Year's Eve. It was John Fitch. We need to look it up. John Fitch fought a dude from Japan. Guy was in the UFC for a little while, the guy from Japan. He was good, but he was more of like a joker. Like, he had a sense of humor. And John Fitch was a really serious dude. I remember speaking to Fitch about it after. I had him on the show. And the guy came out like in a sparkling, tight, like Vegas dress type thing. And he sort of sauntered down, like, and he got into the octagon. The crowd, instead of like, nowadays people would boo and, oh, boycott, oh, he's wearing a dress. Dude, yeah, like people were like laughing and crying, you know, and people were loving it. I think he played like Saturday Night Live, like he played the disco song, and he came out. And John Fitch said, you know, I'm in the mood of killing someone, ready for a fight. And he goes, this guy came in a dress. I said, come on, man, you had to think it was funny. He goes, I had to look away because I just thought it was too funny. He goes, he broke my mood. He goes, I was all ready to fight, and he came in a dress. It threw me off. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hoping you and your friends could tell me something about baseball strategy.
The only thing I know about strategy is that whatever the manager does, it's wrong. Unless it works, in which case he's a button pusher.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, and God, do I have a good memory for someone that's partied as hard as I have and was partying at these events. Well, I told you, I see John Fitch, Japanese dude. So I think it might have been UFC 100. And I was like, no, it wasn't UFC 100. But John Fitch, I'm looking at just, it was bothering me. I had to look this up. I'm like, yeah, John Fitch did fight on UFC 100. I knew that. He fought Paulo Thiago. Paulo Thiago, UFC 100. He beat him. Thiago was a good fighter. He improved to 21-3. Gotta understand, man, John Fitch was a badass. He was really good. Like, he'd sort of swarm you and wrestle. Like, he was just whatever it took. Like, he was like old school, like bear hug, throw you against the fence, elbow in the face. Like, very just brute force. Like, you know what I mean? Old school. Man, that guy could take a beating. I don't know if you guys remember that fight against George St. Pierre. I was there. That was the night Heath Herring fought Brock Lesnar. It was my birthday. August 9, 2008. My birthday was August 10th, so at midnight. Like I said, I have a photogenic memory for this stuff. So anyways, it was Akira Gono. It came out in a dress. And that was, like I said, because I was like, nah, he was wearing a dress. I think it was New Year's Eve that night. I've been to a lot of UFC cards. Like, I was at all these cards in those days, in the heyday. Akira Gono, UFC 94. UFC 94. And the John Fitch, George St. Pierre fight, that was the Heath Herring fight. If you remember, Sports Rage was on Heath Herring's shorts. We were on the Score television network. Now the Score got bought out by Barstool, but I used to be on the Score TV network. There used to be a TV network. It was a great network until they screwed it up. Went soft and commercial, but hey, what do I know? Yeah, those were wild times. We were on Channel 98 in those days, Sirius Channel 98. I was thinking about that night. That was a crappy night that night. But yeah, George St. Pierre, remember John Fitch? He looked like he got like attacked, like he looked like an extra. He looked like a corpse, like one of those zombies on The Walking Dead. If anyone, like, if you're interested in this stuff, like, look it up. Look up, watch the fight if you want. Because normally George St. Pierre fights aren't like violent. You know what I mean? GSP used to sort of just systematically take you down. He even used to say he didn't want to hurt people. He just wanted to win the fight. Like, George St. Pierre wasn't in, "Oh, I hate you." Like, he didn't like Nick Diaz. That's the only time that he ever said, "I'm going to hurt this guy." But and he didn't like Hendricks very much, but that was more after because Hendricks kept talking. But let's look up John Fitch. Watch the video. Look at John Fitch after that fight. It was one of those deals that, like, GSP was, like, beating the crap out of him, but not enough to finish him. And, like, Fitch couldn't see. It was one of those type of deals. Like, I think the craziest thing I ever saw live, though, was Mark Hominick when he had the basketball bubble on his forehead against Jose Aldo. That was, like, the biggest UFC card in the history of the UFC, 55,000 people in Toronto. We were there for that. I'm trying to remember what my first UFC was. I'd have to look at all of them when it would come back to me. I think it was, like, UFC 37. Like, that's why I'm like, wow, we're moving on 300 here right now. So 100, I don't remember what the 200 card was. So what the 300 card, I guess it would sort of set up around New Year's, wouldn't it? Like, they're going to have to go super big. I mean, those are the ones, 100, 200, 300. Nobody cares. Hey, it's our 350th card, right? It's like, yeah, whatever. It's like me with the years with this. It was a big deal. Hey, Sports Rage, 20 years. Now no one cares. Oh, we're going on 22 years, right? Unless we get to 25, right? 25 is the next one where people will be like, hey, congratulations, right? Hopefully we do. But This UFC 291 card, very good. I'm just thinking, too, are there any of these guys on this card that are still around? It's actually bothering me now, but we don't have time to look this up here right now. I'm trying to remember. Like, I need to see it, and I'd be like, all right, that was the first time I was at a UFC event. Off the top of my head, I think it might have was Chuck Liddell and Rich Franklin, maybe. It wasn't Tito Ortiz. I came in right then after. I came in like Tito. I saw Tito, but I came in sort of like at the tail end of that era, the big Tito and Chuck wars and stuff like that. And then Tito sort of like tapered off and sort of went, you know, he wanted to be whatever. He did his thing. And Chuck Liddell took off and became like a massive star after the Iceman. I was just thinking, though, so I just said about Garner when he came out in the dress. You'll notice the UFC, they don't like that. Dana White does not like the WWE-style entrance. And it's funny because they tolerate a lot of other stuff, right, to promote fights. And it's funny that, like, their fighters do, they say crazy things, their fighters. Their fighters are pretty flamboyant people, yet they're like, no, 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 you can't do that, right? And I think their deal is, and I understand, there's always a reason for everything, and the UFC's reasons are usually right from a business perspective. And I know that I think the UFC's reasoning is, we're going to have to, like, it's going to turn into a circus. And I don't think they're concerned so much with, like, oh, how it's going to look on TV. Because whatever, the fight game's a circus to begin with, is it's going to turn into, you can't do that. And I don't think Dana White wants the headache of dealing with fighters and stuff, right? It's going to cause issues that he doesn't have to deal with now. You know, Adesanya is going to say, oh, I want to do this. Like, remember, like, the wrestler Raven, right? The wrestler Raven. I had him on. That was one of the best interviews we've ever done. It was like I was crying on the air laughing so hard. Is the wrestler Raven. When he was in that extreme stuff in Philadelphia, right? The wrestling with Paul Heyman. Speaking of Brock Lesnar, he was with Paul Heyman. And they were trying to sell it to, like, CBS, Viacom stuff. And there was all these big suits in the house. And he nailed himself to a cross. He literally, like, and he got carried out. And he nailed himself to a cross. And it was, high, you know, people flipped out, right? Oh, my God. You can't do that. And he was, like, on the wood. Like, he nailed himself to a cross for real. You know, whatever. Appeared to nail him. And they carried him out on the cross. And he said they didn't really know about it. Like, he sort of, he kind of hit the cross and stuff, right? So he came out, and he goes, you know what? He goes, I knew there would be sort of controversy, but I didn't think, you know, they'd be as mad as they were. And he goes, you know, I'll tell you, Gabe, he goes, I was going to nail myself to a Jewish star. He goes, I'm Jewish. It was one of the funniest things ever. He goes, I'm Jewish. He goes, I was going to nail myself to a Jewish star. But he goes, it was too awkward. See, he had great stories. He told me, he goes, it was too awkward. And he said it was too hard for them, like Tommy Dreamer. I carried. He goes, it was too hard for the guys to carry me in. Like, he goes, I thought about it. And he said, the cross was easier. You know, that Raven guy's actually a genius, too. Right? He's technically his IQ. He's like part of the Genius Club and stuff. Yeah, some funny old stories. But I've always been surprised by that. And now the UFC and the WWE are under the same umbrella, right? And maybe they're always going to want to keep it this way. Because like I said, you let one guy dress up, you let one guy do something, then somebody else is going to want to top him. And then the next guy's going to want to top that. And everyone, and then next thing you know, you're pissing fighters off, right? And let's like a star fighter. And next thing you know, you got a problem because you won't let this guy come in on a white horse or something, right? So it's better, easier just to say, no one's doing anything. But I promise you, one day we'll see in the UFC flashy WWE-style entrances. Michael Chiesa next.
Luck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, Sirius XM Channel 159 of the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's do this thing. Countdown to Fight Night is on UFC 291. This is a serious, old-school, kick-ass card that fight fans in Salt Lake City are going to see, and we're going to see on pay-per-view on Saturday night. We're also going to see a man in the octagon that we have not seen in too freaking long. Mike Chiesa steps up and in, a former Ultimate Fighter. Live a champion. You see him on TV. Mike, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, it's good to be on, man. I'm really excited to be on this card. Stacked from top to bottom. It's going to be a good night.
Yeah, it really is a stacked card. So let me first things first say, you know what, congratulations on a hell of a run. You know, I don't expect you to remember. You've done thousands of interviews over the years, and so have I. I've been doing this show for 21 years now, Mike, and I've done a lot of freaking interviews. Some of them, you know, some of them are awesome. Some of them I don't remember, but you and I speaking. So it was during the Ultimate Fighter. And I'm living in Las Vegas. I moved to Las Vegas like 2010 era or whatever. And so it's 2012. You're in the Ultimate Fighter. I'm in Las Vegas. My father died. All right. My father passed away at a too young of an age. You know, I'm going on. I'm getting on planes. I'm going, you know, into hospital rooms. And it jars me. I'm a big fight fan. I'm hosting a sports radio show. And I see your story. All right. I mean, you're in the house. I see your story. I have you on the show. I got choked up. You know, you got a little emotional at the time as well. So, you know, it's amazing to me that so much freaking time has passed, man, that here we are right now. It feels like it was 100 years ago, but at the same point in time, it feels like it was yesterday still. How does this still inspire you through the years when you look back and you go, man, this journey started then and here I am right now?
You know, the thing that it kind of inspires me is it's the people around me. You know, at the time, I was one of the young guys coming up at the gym, and as time has evolved, you know, I'm one of the, you know, I am the senior leader around these young guys, and And, you know, my aspirations have remained the same. I'm fighting to be a world champion. I don't have to do this anymore. I'm doing this because I want to, and I feel like that makes me more dangerous. You know, I could hang them up now and have a broadcasting career in the sport. But I'm still chasing gold, and I still want to keep paving a way for these young guys in my gym so that I want to get as far as I can so that when I step away from the sport, they can walk in my line and then start to carve a path of their own, going off of what I've laid before them. So I do this for myself, and I do this for my teammates as well. So, you know, my motivations have changed a little bit, but my intentions remain the same. The intentions are to be world champion, but I'm definitely motivated by the people around me.
And some fighters at this stage, at your age, sort of start to see the light at the end of the tunnel and or start to not like it, right? They don't like waking up. They don't like, you know, just the whole process. You've been away from the process, and it seems like the process was something that you missed. You missed, like, getting up. You missed the training for a fight. You missed everything around, because being a fighter, it's everything except, like, the actual fight night, isn't it? Like, that's just sort of the icing on the cake. And all the other work goes on in those 15 minutes, 25 minutes that you're not in an octagon. Have you enjoyed this process, training for a fight again like this?
Well, the funny thing is, I don't see the light yet, because I'm still entrenched. You know, I'm still in the trenches. You know, I'm still in the trenches. Yeah. So I haven't seen the light.
I picture you in a mine, Mike. You're like a miner in a mine, right? There's no light.
No, yeah, I'm looking for gold. So, you know, for me, it's funny because I'm kind of opposite of a lot of guys. You know, I enjoy the process more than I enjoy the fight itself. I enjoy the months of preparation, the adversities you have to overcome in a training camp, the injuries, the highs and the lows of the good days and the bad days. I love fight week. I love, you know, getting to spend time with some of my best friends, and just laughing and enjoying the process. And, you know, and as I say, I don't, you know, as I say, I enjoy the process more than the fight itself. It isn't until there's a switch inside me that flips and I just become a different person. And I hate to sound cliche, but it's so true, because there's something about when I walk out that curtain that I'm just a different person. And that person that walks through that curtain is the one that loves the fighting. It's the part of me that loves the fighting. And it's something I just can't tap into on a regular basis. But everything about this sport I love. I am so blessed and fortunate to wake up every day, and everything I do is mixed martial arts. I eat, sleep, and breathe this sport. When I'm not training for a fight, I'm studying film for the next show. I'm looking to see who's on the next Fight Pass Invitational. I'm getting ready for the next LFA show to commentate. I'm just very blessed. So a lot of that comes with the process of fighting. So I'm just enjoying the journey, man. I'm 11 years into my UFC career. And I'm just I feel very blessed that I've had as long of a tenure as I've had in the highest, in the most prolific, you know, high level mixed martial arts organization in the world.
I was talking earlier about time flying in life itself. As you stated, 11 years, it's crazy to say that out loud. And, you know, it's been so long. It doesn't feel like it's been so long, you know, because we see you on TV and we, you know, you're commentating on fights, but it has been a while. How much has being around the sport and commentating, how much is watching other people fight and sort of, you know, being commentating and breaking down other people's fights, how much has that helped you as a fighter and things that you have picked up just taking a step back? We see this with football coaches a lot, Mike. You know what I mean? They're like football coaches for years. They you know, they do a year or two or TV, and they say, man, I really learned a lot about the league just sort of watching from the outside looking in. You know, sometimes when you're on the freeway, you can't see everything around you. What's it been like sort of from the outside looking in? Has it helped you at all?
Yeah, it's helped a lot. You know, it's helping me pay closer attention to the way the sport's evolving and the new, you know, for a football coach, it's probably the different type of plays and schemes that you're seeing teams run.
Yeah.
That maybe you don't see as much when you're entrenched in the process of studying for yourself. But when you pull yourself out of the equation and you're studying to just break it down as a whole and not apply yourself, you see things from a different perspective. So you really learn how to be objective and subjective with the way that you study and break down film. And there's only so many ways you can get mental reps in a sport. And my job outside of competition has helped me get a lot of mental reps in terms of pulling myself out of the equation, studying film on different fighters, and just breaking them down as a whole without applying myself to the equation. So it helps me pick up on things. And I'm also just learning new techniques and seeing new nuances and certain things that people are doing, because I'm having to watch, you know, I watch fights every weekend as a fan, but I'm not studying them as much, you know. So now that I am working in broadcasting, I'm watching every fight show with my analyst hat on. So I'm picking up more stuff. I'm getting my mental reps, and that's definitely helped me grow as a fighter.
Mike, we'll get you out of here in a couple of minutes. We're in conversation with Mike Chiesa. You can watch him throw it down with Kevin Holland on Saturday night, pay-per-view, UFC 291 in Salt Lake City. I know you were talking and you threw your hat in the ring on short notice to fight Bo Nickel. And when you said breaking down how the sport is evolving, I've been covering the sport a long time, and the thing that catches my eye about the sport evolving is these kids are freaks and monsters, Mike. Not to take anything away from the old school fighters, but the modern fighter, man, with the diet and the workout. I mean, the old school days, I mean, you know, it was a fight, right? It seems like now it's just this next level super freak athlete that's coming in to the UFC, and you've got to deal with one of these guys. And I was thinking about, all right, you're fighting Kevin Holland, so you sort of know what you're getting. You know what you're getting, and that you don't know what you're getting because he's a freak. You know, he might try to kick you in the head, punch you in the head, take you down, sort of a modern hybrid fighter that's going to bring a little bit of something of everything. Should be a fun fight for you, and a pretty tough test, isn't it, in your comeback?
Yeah, very tough test, but I've never called Sean Shelby or my manager and asked for an easy fight, you know. Like I said, like, I'm not here to just, you know, fight anybody and get a check. If I really want to fight for a world title, I still got to fight I got to get in there and scrap with these young guys, you know. And a lot of people think I'm taking a big risk fighting a guy in Kevin Holland who's unranked and who's this wild card. But to me, I look at it like this is a guy that was almost in title contention at 185 pounds. He's got a great name. He's a very, very tough challenge for me, and that's what I want. I don't want easy fights. I want to lay it on the line, and I want to win big or I want to lose big. You know, I don't want to go out there and look for these favorable matchups and come up short. You know, that would deflate me. So it's like, if I know I'm in there scrapping with the best guys and these young guys, you know, I get a lot of comfort in that. It's as crazy as that sounds. I feel comfortable fighting these types of fights. So this is the fight I wanted, and this is the fight I got.
Oh, we've got about a minute left here, Mike. So you said, I'm getting fired up right now. I can't wait to see your return here. When you walk out, you're walking through the tunnel, the camera's in your face, you got to have that rush. But like you said, is it when, boom, the crowd sees you for that first time? Is that when it's like, boom, and you sort of get that out-of-body experience? When does that switch flick right before the fight?
The switch flips when I hear that first riff from Stranglehold by Ted Nugent, and they tell me to make that walk. that's when everything changes for me, you know. So, you know, that's when that switch flips, and I'm excited to experience that feeling again. It's been almost 2 years, and I know that part of me is itching to get out there and fight. So I'm excited to tap in, lock in, get out there and get in a good old-fashioned dust-up with Kevin Holland. He's a hell of a fighter. I know him and I are going to have a lot of fun out there, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we wish you the best of luck on Saturday night. It was great catching up with you. We wish you continued success, and it's great to have you back in the octagon. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, my brother.
There's Mike Chiesa kicking it with us on a late-night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Yeah. Settle down, Lois. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. SiriusXM Channel 159 on Sports Grid Radio Networks. We're kicking in the late night hours here. Julio Rosario steps up, and then thanks to Mike Chiesa for kicking with us. Can't wait to see this fight on Saturday night, UFC 291 pay-per-view, Salt Lake City. If you're in the area, I guarantee you it's going to be a fun time in that arena. I do assume they sell beer, though, right? And other spirits, I hope. I think that whole Salt Lake thing is dry is a little overrated. It's not dry. It's just not, like, super wet. You know what I mean? You can drink. It's just not like there's a ton of places. Let's bring in Julio right now and talk some soccer and whatever else Julio has up his sleeve. But we'll talk soccer here, Julio. And I got to tell you, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've had some really good runs, and we've had some bad runs in this Women's World Cup. But nobody likes a quitter, Julio. So we get back up, and we get back on the horse here tonight. England and Denmark coming up in a couple hours. How you doing, Julio?
I'm doing well, Gabe, and you're absolutely right. It's not entirely dry, but you have to have like a meal with your booze in Salt Lake City. There's those certain rules that you have to apply. But I'm doing well.
Yeah, or it's like on The Simpsons, which really is true out there. If you're the member of like a lodge club or something like that, you know what I mean? Like if you have like a card, a membership, you're allowed to drink on the premises and whatever. I actually had that before, not in Utah, but I was in an area, and it was funny because there was like, there was a school and a church and whatever. There was some old bylaw or something about can't have a bar in like this sort of mile radius type of thing. But there was a billiard hall, Julio, with a bar, right? So, and I was like, well, and I went in, and I said, I came in, and they said, whoa, are you a member? And I said, no. And they said, you got to be a member to drink here. I said, what does it take to be a member? They said, $10. I was like, all right. They gave me a card, and I went in, and then suddenly I'm in a pool hall drinking, Julio, and I said, problem solved. So I think Utah's kind of like that, like you said. Yeah, there's places to go, but it's not like, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, hey, let's go bar hopping, you know what I'm saying?
Correct. Yep, absolutely. Beautiful place, and those fans do get rowdy. It's one of the more rowdier fan bases in the UFC. So it's not surprising to go back there, the second time this year already?
Yeah, you know what? Well, I know BYU fans are psychos, right? Like, they're loud, man. It's going to be a wild atmosphere out there. UFC cards are wild everywhere now. All right, Julio, so I don't know how the Women's World Cup is treating you. It's been treating me well, me personally. Just I get mad when I lose the last game, bad money management here and there. But what do you make of the games coming up here with the English women taking on Denmark? So we got England versus Denmark. England minus 143. The draw is plus 250. Denmark is plus 475.
Yeah, the Women's World Cup has treated me well, especially as an under bettor. Now as more, it's kind of like touring a band, an up-and-coming band, and now all the yuppies are starting to get in on the action. But right now I'm seeing under 2.5 minus 188. I'd rather save some juice, so I'm going to play under a half a goal in the first half at plus 137. I think the Lioness get the victory, England at minus 143, but I'm just going to play the draw halftime at a nice plus price at 137.
So Denmark got the W in their first game against China, 1-0. And England, who were the second favorite to win it all, despite not having their captain and the leading scorer on their team, two different big-time players out for them, England were still the co-favorites. England struggled with Haiti. Haiti presented a challenge for them, and it was 1-0. So it's really hard not to like the under here, isn't it, Julio? Like, I don't want to be simplistic, but looking at the under of this game.
Yeah, again, if you're comfortable laying a high price, the unders have been the theme of this tournament. I mean, you had the Argentina-South Africa game, which was a great second half. Go over the number.
That was annoying.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was annoying. But we're going to get those games over the course of this tournament. All these things, we're going to get a bump in the road to just get back in the saddle and try to recoup some lost dollars. So I agree with you. And look, both teams are tied in Group D. If you like Denmark, play Denmark 6-1 to win the group. They win this match against England, they're in the driver's seat to come out of Group D.
I'm going to say 1-0 England. You know what? I'll lay the 188. And looking at a same game parlay here, what's this? Both teams to score, no. Minus 188. I don't think both teams score. I think England are good defensively enough. Like, they're young. The thing with England, I get it, Denmark are older, but I still think England can find a way here to squeeze out a 1-0 win. I'm looking here, total goals. We go under. Let's go under, keep it safe, under 3.5 in England to win. Let's see what this pays. I'll let you guys know. Plus 110. It's not great. That's not really great. Could matter as well, if I like England to win, I might as well just lay the minus 143. So your pick, Julio, under and the draw? You're going to be bold here? Roll with the draw?
Yeah, I'm going to do a draw in the first half, plus 137. And I'm going to play the under at 188, minus 188.
All right, do we have Angelo Zara yet in the house with us? Angelo Zara, Zara Picks on Twitter. What's going on, Angelo? How you doing?
Yeah, besides my women's World Cup picks, I'm doing not too bad, Gabe.
The women aren't treating you well, huh?
No, they aren't. Real life and on the pitch.
Yeah, that can happen. I've been doing, like I just said, it's like penny-wise, pound crazy. I win like two games. I'm doing like what amateurs do on NFL Sunday. I have like a good 1 o'clock, and so I have a good like midnight game, and then I have a good 2 a.m. game, and then I always get greedy and do the same thing. Oh, let me just push all in here again on that 6 a.m. game. And the 6 a.m., the last one of the night is always getting me. That early, and you know what else that made too, the last, like yesterday, the last 24 hours has been annoying with this stuff. You know, Angelo, I like Canada, and I had it under 2.5. So when they give up a freaking goal on a corner kick 5 minutes into the game, I was screwed right away, bro. I was like, well, I can't win both bets now. Like, if Canada wins, it goes over. If it stays under, then it didn't win, and either way, I'm screwed. And it really, you know, it was bittersweet that game. And then after Holland scoring right away on the U.S. put me in the exact same spot. I was like, great. Now we need the USA to score twice to come back. And I got to tell you, if I see one more freaking offside call, I'm going to snap, man. Alex Morgan scored. I was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, of course. Of course. Offside. Just brutal. So have you tapped out of the Women's World Cup, Angelo? Are you done?
No, I'm actually on the same game as you guys here. I got England and Denmark. I took the draw. I just think this game, both teams don't want to lose this game. I think it's just going to, they're both going to coast just to get the point, and then they'll decide on the last day to get their wins against China and Haiti there. So I like the draw at plus 260.
Can't argue it.
Yeah.
Like you said, no one, they both know they don't need to be crazy about this, and they're both going to advance, right? So why get reckless? This almost seems too good to be true, Julio, to be honest. So you know what? You guys are convinced. I like to draw bets. I sort of get the feeling England are going to score late and win 1-0. I think we might be able to get bold, guys, and go under 1.5 in this game. What do you think, Julio?
I like that a lot. I agree with Angelo's thesis on this game. Again, in tournament soccer, you're going to get those types of strategies of two teams who want to advance. What's the number? What would we get? Plus 162. I would have liked a little bit higher, but I'm willing to play that game. Plus 162 on the under, 1.5 on the alternate line.
It's not bad, actually, plus 162. It's sort of all or nothing, I get the feeling. It's either going to be 1-0 or 3-2, and none of all of us are going to be way wrong. It's going to be like, oh, man, it's 2-2 at the half. I can't believe this happened. You know, I don't know, man. You know, Angelo, soccer's weird, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, I had the under in Australia and Nigeria. It was scoreless at the half.
Yep.
It was like, all right, this is looking good. Yeah, 3-2, final score. All right, China and Haiti. Julio, any opinion on this one?
Like I said, so they both lost 1-0 in their openers.
Yeah, I'm going to play the under. Just keep rolling the dice with the under. First half under a half a goal plus 162. Full game draw at plus 290, and under 2.5 goals at minus 150.
Angelo, any opinion on China and Haiti?
Yeah, like Julio's under there 2.5, but I'm on China here at minus 150 on the money line. I seen it went up to minus 175, which kind of scares me. Everybody's hammering China now, so I don't know if the public is going to be all over China now and one of those contrarian picks where it goes the other way, so I'm kind of scared about it, but I took China on the money line.
This game might be a draw, too. I think it's going to be very evenly matched this game. I mean, it's funny you said everyone's hammering China. Like you say, soccer's global, but talk about D-Gen special bailouts, huh, Julio? Like these games are like, so China and Haiti, but we're not alone. Like the entire world is like, and everyone's probably saying the same thing in every language. You're like, damn, man, China and Haiti, huh? What are we doing with this one?
Well, I mean, if you look at the spread, if you think China was going to be a massive favorite to win this game, the spread would have been a bit higher. It's what, minus one plus?
No, Haiti are pretty good, bro.
China.
Haiti can play soccer.
I agree. I'm
playing the draw plus 300 on the under. I'm playing both unders and both draws. Let's see how this works out. We just got to hit one of them. And we don't lose, like, big money, at least. What's your pick, Julio? China and... are you going to play the draw here, or are you going to avoid the draw?
No, yo, playing the draw 3-1, first half under a half a goal at plus 162.
All right, so that's the Women's World Cup action for tonight. We got two more games. The action picks up tomorrow night. Sweden, Italy, France, Brazil, Panama, Jamaica. For the record, Canada play against Australia after the show on Sunday night. And then conversely, at the same time, so basically 3 a.m. Eastern time, Portugal and USA on Monday night. So early Tuesday morning, Monday night, Portugal and USA, which is actually a big game. Portugal looked very good today. So speaking of looking very good, Angela, what do you think of Messi taking over here in Inter Miami looking unstoppable suddenly? Wow, huh? Dude, they played 2 games in 4 days, and they won them both.
Yeah, just insane. And, you know, you brought up a great point last week there how, you know, Inter Miami's MLS season is kind of a bit of a write-off, and they have something to play for now in this Leagues Cup. And, yeah, Messi just, I don't think he's human. I think he might be the alien that's on Earth here.
Yeah, him and Otani.
Yeah.
Him and Otani, aliens. Well, there's actually, you know what, there's aliens everywhere. People just didn't, you know, pay attention yesterday. It's true, though. Inter Miami want to win this Leagues Cup. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back passes to the center, back to the wing, back to the center. Center holds it, holds it, holds it.
Halfback passes to center, back to wing, back to center. Center holds it, holds it, holds it.
I can't bear this any longer. I'm leaving.
The late night anger match for class. This is Sports Rage. All right, we never know what we're going to get into a debate about. Maybe a little bit later on, we'll get into a field turf versus real grass debate. And I'm not saying that field turf is better than real grass. Those stupid pellets, like that stuff with the pellet stuff sucks. Like it happened, they played on that in the USFL, and the quarterback got like tackled, and a bunch of pellets went in his eye, and he couldn't play for like 2 weeks. He was blinded. Like it was like a problem. Like it got deep in there, and it was like those stupid little pellets are not good in field turf. But we're just bringing this up because everyone's sold out. Everywhere Messi goes is sold out, yet he doesn't want to play on not natural grass. And people are going to flip out when it's the old load management. But the thing is, it's known. Like, he told them, they know, Beckham knows, Miami knows, everybody knows. And it's sort of like, yeah, don't worry about it. There's only a few stadiums anyways.
And there really is. There's a handful of stadiums in the MLS that don't have real grass. Vancouver being one of them. Ironic, because Vancouver has a lot of other grass. But Miami could end up playing Vancouver August the 19th, I believe, in Vancouver, if like this bracket played out in some weird way. But I don't think he would play. Because out of all the damn fields, like, but the World Cup has been BC placed. They better do something about that before it arrives. But I'll throw it to you, Julio. I have enjoyed the League's Cup, though. They've been very spirited, entertaining games. And we've been tweeting and talking about how the women's games, you take the under and the cards. This League's Cup, bro, is violent. Like, it's been two games in a row. Somebody got kicked out of the game. Montreal and Pumas, like, nearly got into a fist fight. Like, they're very chippy, these games. We'll get to Angelo and Julio's best bets on the other side. We got Brett Beard joining us on Level 3 as well.